What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We've got another exciting show for you today. We're excited about that. A lot of things to cover on this Tuesday. We got a lot of rain overnight. Darren McFarland, that's me down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is standing by over in East Nashville, and Marquise Munson is at our Wholesale Inc. Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Chase McCabe will continue to be on the afternoon show with Floyd Reese all week. So it'll be Chase and the GM starting at 2 o'clock. It looks like Major League Baseball is going to play. In fact, there's a game today. No. Settle down. No, it doesn't mean that. But it does look like 60 games. You can see it in the distance. It's wavy, there's like heat waves, and you're not sure if you're really seeing it right or not. Depending on your eyesight, you may need glasses. But I think since we got off the air yesterday, Willie, and we talked to Bob Nightingale about it yesterday, because he knew that a decision was going to be made yesterday, and now they've got another decision by, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock our time today. We're going to find out again today whether this they can actually shake hands, kiss, and make up, and somewhat have a regular season.
Yeah, and even that, even if they do agree, and as you said, the Players Association has to give the final okay that, yes, we will show up for spring training on July 1st, and we agree to the health codes. I think people are reasonably certain that they will do that. But what this has set the stage for is, you know, all of this times 10 after the 2021 season. It just, again, is mind-boggling. They basically did not come to an agreement.
Right.
They basically agreed to disagree, and the commissioner used his right to implement a 60-game season, which is better than 48, which is what we thought it would be a couple of weeks ago at one point. But the players did not waive their right to file a grievance. So there's going to be all kinds of grievances, probably on both sides. You bargained in bad faith. No, you bargained in bad faith. And it's going to be a giant storm cloud hanging over everything. But, you know, at least we'll have something to watch if you're a baseball fan. But, man, they have set the stage for disaster. I think financially, both sides, the you know, for the game overall, there's just a lot of trouble spots here.
Trevor Bauer tweeted out, so we gave up shares of playoff money, eliminating the qualifying offer for 2021, paycheck advance forgiveness, COVID-19 protections, and protection for non-guaranteed arbitration contracts for next year in order to hold on to our right to file a grievance. And he's got the emoji thinking. And that's all true. But I would say to Trevor Bauer and Blake Snell and any other Major League Baseball player that wants to bellyache about all this stuff, most every single person listening to this radio show and every single sports talk radio show around the country, most, and I mean most, do not give a damn about what he just tweeted out. To me, they still don't get it. They still don't get it. I mean, people have been financially ruined in 2020. The working public, you know, the people that buy their tickets and support that sport and show up to games and put those big dollars and those big contracts in their bank account. And I realize the TV contracts are a big part of that, but let's not act like the fans don't matter. They don't get it. They still don't get it. You know, like all that's true. That's fine. But once again, who are you talking to? If you're just talking to your peers, fine. They get that. They'll shake their head and they go, "Yeah, Trevor, that's right." The rest of us out there in America that aren't billionaires or really, really, really rich, they don't care. They don't care.
But this is what's interesting about Bauer. He has been pounding away at the owners throughout this process. Like, he's smarter than everybody else, and the players are 100% in the right. The owners are wrong. But you actually, in that tweet, I think, hear him questioning the decision. Like, why did they do that? They just gave away a ton of money and rights, especially for the little guys. In other words, the guys making the minimum salary, mm-hmm. those guys just got hosed.
The guys we love to talk to on this show, right? The Kirk Casalis, Tony Kemp, those guys. Caleb Josephs of the world.
And so they get no qualifying offer. So what's going to happen is there will be a ton of players that are non-tendered mm-hmm. who could have been picked up for another year. So there's going to be a flood of free agents next year. So tell me what the free agent market's going to look like next year when you don't know if you're going to have full people in the stands. You know, how many people are ticked off that this has happened? Mm-hmm. Is the pandemic still lingering somewhere? It might be. Like, what do they think the free agent market's going to be like? So they eliminated a bunch of benefits that were offered to them for this right to file a grievance that they may or may not win, I guess, is a leveraging chip for post-2021. I mean, it just makes no sense at all. Like, I'm not a fan of the owners at all. I think they should have gone up to 65 or 70 games at prorated. But at some point, the players have got to wake up and smell the coffee, really. It's really both sides, as Trevor pointed out in another one of his tweets, right? We've just driven this car together right off the cliff. And it's not like there wasn't a warning sign, you know, for the last few months. Hey, warning, there's a cliff at the end of this road. You might want to slow down and take another route. And like every mile, that sign is still there, getting bigger. You know, the big yellow sign that becomes a big red sign, warning mm-hmm. cliff. And they just kept riding. They went right off the cliff.
They did that, or they're the jerks that stay in the lane that's closing, and they stay in it all the way to the very, very end, and then they're going to try to squeeze in, right? They're those jerks. We've all dealt with those people on the interstate, right? Right, closing in 1,000 feet, closing in 500 feet, right lane closed, and they're going to take it all the way up to the front and then try to make their way over and hose all the people that did the right thing way back and got over. But your example is much better. That's actually what they didn't do. They didn't get over. They went off the road and into the woods. So your example is better. They did go off the cliff. It's I'm going to the beach next week. Basically, Major League Baseball has been out on a surfboard, and they just got bit by a shark, and they managed to get away. They swam to the beach, and they've asked people to put Band-Aids on their wounds. You got bit by a shark. Band-Aids aren't going to fix what's wrong with you, okay? You're going to need to go to the hospital. You're going to may have to have surgery. You may have to have, amputation. You're going to need stitches. You're going to need big – a Band-Aid isn't going to do it. This is a Band-Aid. That's all it is. For people that are excited, it's 60 games and they report and they're going to try to get this cranked up. What, they're going to report July 1st, going to begin around July 24th. That's fine. But everything you laid out earlier is still right there in the distance. You can see it. You can see the mountain ranges, okay? You're not out of distance. You can see everything. In 2021, is not going to be any easier because you've got a CBA that's coming up and you've still got all the fallout of what's going to happen financially from everything we're going through. It's
Darren,
not going
that's
to get
a great
better.
Point. That's the point that I don't think the players really see. They just assume that all the owners are full of money and they're rich people, right? And the franchises are worth tons of money. The values of the franchise, and this is what the players constantly point out. They can afford to pay us because even a team like the Royals in a small market are worth $1 billion, right? The franchise value is huge.
Well, yeah, but what are you asking the owners to do? Sell the team?
to pay bills? That is what they're doing. If you can't pay us, go sell it. Somebody will come up and buy
it. Well, that's great for the players.
But are you
going to
buy it in the middle? Yeah. I mean, they're going to lose $1 billion. I mean, I don't know what the number is. It's a huge number. right? Because of there's not a single ticket that's going to be sold in all likelihood, right? If they do, maybe it's 1,000 fans a game or something. It's going to be a tiny fraction. So that is going to make it really hard to get the kind of free agent dollars you're used to getting, right? The free agent market is going to be terrible. There's going to be some unbelievable bargains because there's going to be a lot of teams that just aren't going to have the normal payroll that they're used to having.
That's why I said it's you're just sticking a Band-Aid on this. If they come play this, and that's fine, and they, you know, they indeed crank up on July 24th, that's great. But if you think that you're out of the woods, if you are involved in Major League Baseball and you're out of the woods, you're not even close to being out of the woods. There's a whole lot more turbulence to come. This flight is not going to be serving drinks or peanuts, which I don't even think they do right now. Anyway, but these flights are not – there's not going to be any service on these flights, okay? It's going to be turbulent, and it's going to be turbulent in 2021. And, you know, they're just – I don't know if they get that. I really don't. I don't know. I know some do. I'm certainly not going to cast a net and blame them all. But I do, because there probably are a lot of these players that really get, there's a lot of smart baseball players that get what's going on and probably are shaking their head. You haven't heard from them because they're probably shaking their head behind the scenes. But there's a lot of them that are just completely oblivious. They got their head in the clouds and they have no clue truly what is going on. And that's sad. We will come back. Michael Russo at Russo Hockey covers the Minnesota Wild. We're going to talk to him about some things that went on yesterday where Minneapolis was scratched off the list and returned to play. We're going to get into a lot of stuff on the other side with Michael Russo here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Cool scene at the start of the race at Talladega yesterday. We're going to talk to Jamie Little, who was a part of the broadcast a little bit later in the show. That's coming up later here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody's having a great start to your day. Darren McFarland and Willie Dunnick here with you. We now say hello to Michael Russo at Russo Hockey. He covers the Minnesota Wild for The Athletic, and he is now on the line with us. Michael, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Well, just wanted to let you know that here in Nashville, we've been thinking about you guys and what's been going on in your city and your area. And what has it been like to see all this unfold over the last 2 to 3 weeks?
Well, I mean, it's been tough. But things have started to settle down, and as we're seeing across the country, ever since there have been protests and things like that. But man, it was during that time here, it was absolutely devastating, especially somebody like me that lived in downtown Minneapolis for 12 years and been in all these communities where peaceful protests were going on, but then also a lot of destruction. And I think that we're starting to see change here across the country and in the sport that I cover. Now suddenly everybody's starting to speak out and support something that one of the Wild players, JT Brown, has been, for years trying to bring attention toward, and that is racial injustice and police brutality. And now suddenly you're seeing things in hockey like the Hockey Diversity Alliance and all sorts of cool fundraisers that black and white players are putting together. And hopefully this time we'll see actual change here and maybe at least something good came out of this.
Hockey is for Everyone is an initiative that we've certainly talked a lot about here on this show, trying to open things up, as you mentioned. How do you think moving forward, and Nashville has certainly had their fair share of African-American players in Seth Jones and P.K. Subban. I mean, the list goes on. I don't need to go through them all. We've really enjoyed covering them, getting to know them over the years, and just talking about the growth in hockey and helping, you know, what we're talking about. What do you think – how far do you think – you've been doing this for a while. How far do you think hockey has come, and how much are you encouraged, or are you encouraged moving forward that it can – things can truly get much better on a lot of fronts?
Yeah, I am. I think it's been slow. There's no doubt about it. I brought up the JT Brown incident that happened in Tampa. When he played with Tampa, it happened actually in South Florida where he raised his fist on the bench, and there was a lot of silence. I don't think anybody went after him, but even Gary Bettman at the time said, look, I support peaceful protesting, but there's a time and place to do it and not during games. and now all of a sudden the NHL is all hopping on board here. I think a lot of the reason for that is that nothing's going on. There's no hockey being played. There's not a game to prepare for tomorrow, where a lot of other incidents, a lot of racial incidents that have happened in the sport of hockey has been mostly brushed aside or people forget about it. I mean, you look at the Akeem Alou public acknowledgement basically in November of what was going on with Bill Peters. Nobody really talked up during that time as they are now. So hopefully more and more players, you know, and the league as a whole begin to support this initiative. Because the one thing that I do think is, you know, I've covered this sport for 25 years, and I can name you, you know, 20, 25 players total probably that I've covered that are, that you know, that are black, you know, from Joel Ward to Peter Worrell to Stewart Brothers and players like that to Dumba and Greenway. And I think that we need to make this sport more accessible to people of all races, colors, you know, religions, genders, everything. Because this is an incredible sport that we're a part of, but unfortunately, you know, I think that it's just very, very hard for a lot of people to embrace and to eventually wind up playing. And so, you know, that's one thing that I think the Hockey Diversity Alliance is going to try to do, is to figure out a way to advance diversity in the sport of hockey at all levels.
Well said. Yesterday, Columbus and your city was eliminated from the hub city, potential hub city for a return to play for the NHL. There were 10 cities on that list, Minneapolis/St. Paul, and Columbus were two of those 10. They were eliminated yesterday. Surprised? Not surprised.
Not surprised. You know, the second the league tried, you know, really determine with the players that they needed to make these hub cities in places where they could create really good environments for these players that could last two and a half months. Actually, I was frankly surprised that Nashville didn't suddenly become the leading front runner, right?
So were we.
You know, just, yeah, I know. I mean, you know, if they weren't worried about these players flocking down to Broadway during this bubble, I think that Nashville would have been a guaranteed thing. But, you know, the second, you know, look, I live in Minnesota. I love Minnesota. But players would just, for two and a half months, if they had to be stuck in the St. Paul Hotel or one of the hotels in downtown Minneapolis and couldn't go anywhere, I think that they would go crazy. And it's the same thing. You know, Columbus has that awesome Hilton and the Hyatt right by the arena. But again, it's sort of a tight hotel. You're confined to your rooms and things like that. And I think they're worried about the psyche of these players 2 months into it. So, you know, a lot of people, when I tweeted that Minnesota was officially informed yesterday that they were out, and I reported this 2.5 weeks ago that they were mostly out, I think a lot of people thought it had to do with the leadership and here in Minnesota, the George Floyd incident, the unrest that happened here. And it really was more the fact that the league just looked at Minnesota and said, you know what, we've got to create a really good environment for these players to be in. And that's why suddenly, you know, Vancouver, L.A., Chicago actually appeared, you know, as front runners, you know, or at least hit the level of front runners with Vegas. Because what you could do is you could create almost like an entertainment district for these players that the league would literally own and operate, like LA Live. And these players, if you're in there for a month, month and a half, at least there are things to do, there are places to go where you don't feel like you're just confined to staring at the walls of your hotel room. Now, the second to Canada pretty much made it very clear that they would lift the 14-day quarantine rule for players coming into that country, you knew the league wasn't going to go through that process, make an entire nation change its rule and not go there. So Canada, at a minimum, will be one of the hubs. Vancouver and Edmonton are the front runners, but because of the reasons that I just listed, I think Vancouver is the front runner of those two. And then Vegas is obviously the big front runner because you could take a huge hotel like Park MGM or Vidara, put the players in, own and operate multiple restaurants, have golf excursions, have, you know, literally own a movie theater where the players can go to and the general public can't. And that's one big reason why they're doing this, because they're worried about what if, a team that is in the playoffs, that is actual Stanley Cup contender, is still in this hub a month, month and a half, 2 months, and what are they going to be like if they feel like they're looking out their window on the strip and see thousands and thousands of people living their daily life, having fun, but they're still stuck in this bubble because the NHL is not going to get rid of this tight bubble they're going to have these players live in.
Michael Russo on the line with us, covers the Minnesota Wild for The Athletic. The Predators and Wild struck a trade back at the deadline in 2019, last year, and Predators sent Kevin Fiala, who we got to know well when he was here, to Minnesota for Mikael Granlund. And I think it's fair to say, and I'll be curious your answer, that both of them, because Minnesota and Nashville were playing each other a lot down the stretch before everything came to a screeching halt, that both were playing their best hockey since the trade. Do you agree with that? And why do you think it took a while for both of them to kind of get on a hot streak?
Yeah, I think it was tough. I mean, you know, I remember when Granlund got to Nashville, his wife literally gave birth that day.
Yeah.
So he was actually late arriving. And then all of a sudden you're living out away from your family, your newborn. I think it was tough for Mikhail to really get going there in Nashville. And same thing here. You know, Fiala came. He's coming to a new organization for the first time. And then all of a sudden, he has a little bit of an injury. This year, it really started tough for Fiala again. Tough love between Bruce Boudreau and Kevin Fiala. He scratched a couple games. Same thing hurt. And then once the calendar flipped to November, he just became a totally different player. Then once the calendar flipped to February, he became an absolute star for the Wild. 14 goals, 12 assists in his last 18 games. He scored the last goal with the Wild in overtime in Anaheim before the pause, and just absolutely looked like the game breaker that Paul Fenton, the old assistant GM for the Nashville Predators, that was the GM that made that trade with David Poile at the time with Minnesota, thought that he was getting here in Minnesota. So Fiala looks like he has the ability to be a stud. And then Granlund just got really good down the stretch for Nashville. And now it's an interesting quandary that David Poile is going to have to make whenever the offseason arrives. And that's whether or not he resigns Granlund, who is a pending unrestricted free agent.
No question about it. Mike Russo is with us, does a great job for The Athletic covering the Minnesota Wild. And Mike is a guy that has stayed many a night at the St. Paul Hotel. I had this vision you just put up there. I do love the wild rice soup that they have in the hotel restaurant. It's really good, but I don't know if I could do it for two straight months. It would get old just like everything else, I would say.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's not like Nashville. Like I've stayed in some of those hotels in Nashville, like that new Westin and the JW and the Omni there. And, I mean, they're just amazing hotels there. I think I've told you guys this before, but I actually covered the first ever Nashville Predators game and their first two exhibition games, because I covered the Florida Panthers at the time, and their first exhibition games, I believe, were in Huntsville, Alabama,
yes,
and Pensacola, Florida, against the Florida Panthers. And then the first ever game was a riveting 1-0 Nashville loss against the Florida Panthers in 1998. So I have a soft spot for the Predators. I've been going there for a long, long, long time. If I was the NHL, I would actually switch it up and, at least for the beat writers' perspectives, bring hockey to Nashville in these hubs.
Well, Mike, it's interesting you mentioned both Columbus and Minnesota got the word yesterday that they will not be the hub cities. You guys wrote a piece. It's a really good piece on the expansion draft of 2000. This is the anniversary of it,
yeah.
I guess, 20-year anniversary. Nashville had gone through it 2 years before, and then Atlanta was the following year, the four new teams that kind of came in the same round of expansion. And we have lamented to this day. I mean, we didn't know any different at the time, but when you compare what was available in the expansion draft then compared to what Seattle is going to get and what Vegas got, it's unbelievable. It is night and day.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, Aaron Portsline, my colleague at The Athletic in Columbus, and I teamed up on this story, and then we're doing another story tomorrow. But you're right. I mean, not only was the rules ridiculous that the Wild and the Columbus Blue Jackets had to pick 3-4 in the entry draft, but you look at the rules that it took place in the expansion draft compared to what Vegas just dealt with, and it was absolutely night and day. I mean, first of all, you couldn't make really trades with either team because you had two teams in there. But just to give you a great example is that I think it was Minnesota and Columbus combined 11. They had 11 and 12 players that played respectively for their teams out of the expansion draft. 10 defensemen alone and 19 players played for Vegas that they got in the expansion draft. And plus, with one team there and a very different rules there, George McPhee, the GM of the Vegas Golden Knights at the time, now he's the team president, he was able to really manipulate the process and make a lot of trades with a lot of teams. The one team that actually he really didn't make trades with, I think, was Nashville. But because Nashville went with the 8-skater rule here, but I mean, you know, he was able to manipulate the process where he got from Florida Marcia So and Riley Smith, Shea Theodore from from Anaheim. You got William Karlsson out of Columbus. You got both Alex Tuch and Eric Halla out of Minnesota. All these teams making trades to basically protect assets on their team that they thought they were making the smart decision. And now when Seattle comes into play here next year, you got to wonder if the teams will do those same things or they'll just be like, here's a pick of your litter, take whoever you want, but we're not going to give you good quality young assets to protect somebody else. So the rules that Minnesota and Columbus had to deal with, plus the other thing, as you mentioned, because Atlanta and Nashville had just come in, really the talent pool that was in the expansion draft was beyond thinned out. So it was pretty much picked dry, as Doug McClain said.
It did pretty well, considering Minnesota in particular. You know, they did a pretty good job developing over a fairly short period of time, as I recall. Mike, I want to ask you, you've had a really good rapport with a lot of the players for the Wild. Just as you talk to them through this process, as the guys start to get ready, some of them may be coming back over in the next several days from Europe, et cetera, how their feeling is. I know that you guys put out an article the last couple of days that you had some anonymous players not too sure about the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, the positive tests that have happened in the last couple of days that the NHL has announced, the 11 positives, is alarming, but I think that we're all pretty much realize that as more and more players get tested, it's just going to become inevitable that there are going to be more positive tests. I think where the concern comes along is what happens when we're closer to phase three, is if there is an official return to play vote, and how teams in the league will handle positive tests in training camp, and then when closer when they get to the bubble. I think that's going to be the big adventure. You know, on July 28th, if Sidney Crosby tests positive for COVID, how are they going to handle this? Is he really going to sit out of the Penguins lineup for 2 weeks? It's just going to be fascinating to watch. But from a Minnesota Wild perspective, you know, I cover a veteran-laden team, a team with a bunch of 30-somethings. I think the Minnesota Wild lead the NHL in children. I mean, last year...
The Predators have caught up, I think, in the last couple of years. They've got a lot of youngsters, but...
Yeah, I know. They've made a lot of trades, guys like Granny and people like that. So I think they've gone from, like, 40 kids to, like, I think 30. But still... You know, these guys don't want to leave their families for, you know, weeks upon weeks upon weeks. Now, as I put that out once, and, you know, Wild haters have noted, well, really, the Minnesota Wild are going to have to go leave their families for 7 days. But the point being is that the Wild are going to, you know, typically lose out early. But anyway, so a lot of the Wild players are those veteran players that are just not fond of this whole return to play thing and think, what's the point? I think the deal is now is that Donald Fehr and the Players Association is trying to intertwine a new collective bargaining agreement that could really work on maybe making escrow a lot more palatable for these players here because of the damage being done to the NHL this year with the COVID stoppage, and then intertwine that with the return to play. And the second that that disappears, if the league cancels the season, now all that leverage that the PA has on a potential new CBA goes out the window. So that's one big reason right now you're seeing the union really try to push their own players to eventually here in the next week or so probably come up with a vote that's going to return to play. And then we'll see if the league can pull it off. I mean, as you know, just watching TV, you see what's going on in Florida and Arizona. And the hot spots now with COVID, and it's going out west and in places that could be potential hubs, and how that affects things, we'll see. But right now, you know, I think it's pretty much you have a lot of players that are on the fence on what they want to do, and certainly a lot of guys from the Minnesota Wild are some of those players.
Michael, real quick on the way out, how do you think, and I know this is tough to answer, but I just want to get your opinion. How do you think we're going to be able to cover the sport moving forward? Because, you know, Willie on this show does a stand-up right in front of the boards on television with a player. I do second period intermission for radio downstairs outside the locker room and a post-game player interview. And I don't know, like, I don't know if any of that stuff will happen moving forward for a good while. How do you think the sport and locker room access and all of that, how do you think that's going to work?
I totally am worried with you. I mean, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't think that anytime soon we're going to get anywhere close to a player. So that's going to be really interesting. You know, the NHL, I think, needs coverage like no other sport out there. So that's, I know, on their mind. But they also need to, especially if they're going to pull off return to play this summer, they're going to have to come up with a way to really protect this bubble and probably keep us out. And so, you know, what I think the league is going to do is to announce a process that's going to allow some of us to cover games in the hub cities. But the question is, our outlets, your radio station, The Athletic, for me, are they going to invest a ton of money to send us to Vancouver or Vegas or LA or Chicago, whatever it is, for weeks on end to cover games in person if then after the fact we're going to have to do a Zoom call
right.
with the same players in the same arena that the same reporters are going to get on their couches at home?
Yeah.
Then it's going to be up to our outlets to decide whether or not they can pay for that. But I'm very concerned about it. I will tell you this, and you know, not to get into a whole COVID debate, but I'm doing a story this week with the head of COVID really at Mayo Clinic here in Minnesota, in Rochester. And the one thing that he points out is that he sees no reason why reporters wearing masks, if you're talking to a player wearing a mask and you're social distancing, why that can't get done. And he brought up that the exposure between healthcare workers and patients at the Mayo Clinic, ever since they basically said that all players, all patients, and all healthcare workers have to wear masks, gloves, and things like that, the exposure between the two has gone down completely. They have had no contracted cases at Mayo Clinic between patient and healthcare workers since they've implemented this rule. So he said if it's good enough for a hospital, why is it not good enough for the National Hockey League? But so maybe that's something we worry about next season. I can tell you that right now, coming into this summer, there's just no way we're going to probably get near these players. But hopefully down the line, once, you know, we get closer to a vaccine or things start to die down, hopefully by the wintertime when next season begins, that they'll figure out a way that allow us to actually interview these players like we're good, like we know how to do, because that's how we get the great stories to the passionate fans that root for the Nashville Predators and the Minnesota Wild and all that.
No doubt. Interesting stuff. Hey, thanks for the visit. Really appreciate it. You guys continue to be safe up there, and we will certainly talk to you down the road.
Yep, thank you too, guys.
All right, that is Michael Russo, covers the Minnesota Wild for The Athletic and does a really good job doing it. He's done it for more than two decades, and his Twitter account is @RussoHockey. You ought to click follow. It's free and easy, and he is a good follow. A lot to digest there. We will come back and talk about some of the things you just heard and discuss it to close out the first hour of Darren Donick and Chase next on ESPN.
Thanks, Ryan. We agree with that.
Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Good stuff from Michael Russo, covers the Minnesota Wild from The Athletic. That was good. A lot to take in there, and we're going to talk about that. So he feels Vegas and Vancouver is what I think I took from that. And I was trying to find the notes where we made our predictions, because I try to keep that stuff when we throw stuff out there on the show on who said what. I think me and you were all over Vegas. Remember we did this?
Yeah, I said Vegas.
Back.
I said Vegas and Minnesota were the
you
two.
You said Vegas. Oh, so you've already got an eliminator. Okay. Oh, I got it right here. Here we go. So Chase said Columbus and Dallas. So we can scratch Columbus off the list. So there's a swing and a miss. It looks
it's
like
not
he's going to
be
go,
Dallas.
He's
going to
get
it's going.
Over.
It's
gonna
going
go
to be a
two.
Canadian city.
So you said Vegas, Minnesota, and I said Vegas, Edmonton. That's who I said.
You still have a chance.
Yeah,
but I think it's going to be Vegas, Vancouver. I think is where it's moving right now. But I guess we'll wait for it to be official, because Mike said the same thing that I was hearing yesterday, that the signs are pointing to Vancouver, and I'm not really sure all the reasons for that. I guess we'll find out, but we'll wait and see.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, I'm curious. What are the reasons? It's a pretty city? I don't know.
Well, it is a pretty city.
It is. Nice mountain ranges, good restaurants. I don't know. It must obviously have a good setup, too. I mean, I've been there. I've been to their arena, but I'm not familiar with, you know, what's around there, as in ice, you know. Rinks and
in terms of practice and all of that stuff,
you know, to accommodate everybody.
There's plenty of places to play, as we know. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a big city. There's a lot of hockey played, but it is different than what he was laying out. There was a campus sort of thing where you have a little mini community that you basically buy in Vegas, right? Where I wouldn't be surprised if you had a casino you can go play in. You got to watch out for some of these guys. They may end up losing their shirts, because if nothing else to do, you go down there, you keep gambling for however many straight weeks. That could get bad for some people if they don't know what they're doing. I would be one of those people. But, you know, different restaurants options. He said a movie theater. You know, it's the same idea, I guess, as the basketball, except in Vegas. But Vancouver, I don't know that they have a place like that. It's certainly not close to the arena that I know of. But I'm sure Vancouver has come up with a plan that is, you know, got the attention of some people one way or the other. And it must be beyond just Vancouver being such a scenic and beautiful city to hang out in. I mean, maybe that's part of it, but I don't know.
You could, can I get this off my chest real quick? You always crack me up when you talk about gambling. You think if anybody gambles, they're gonna lose their shirt, they're going to go broke, belly up.
They spend all their money.
And they just come home and they tell the significant other, we're broke. I literally cleaned out our bank accounts to gamble in Vegas. Like, you can't gamble without losing your shirt and losing everything you have. That's like
I
saying,
didn't say,
we
not
went
everybody,
out drinking.
Not everybody, but somebody.
That you do
somebody
that
is going to fall by the wayside there. If they
like,
if they are sitting
like
in the
casino.
Like, you
can't control yourself.
You can't go anywhere, but you have a casino, you like to gamble, and you're there. Let's say your team is playing great, and you're there for 2 months. You can't tell me there's not one person that is going to have a rough time going home and saying, honey, we had a great time in Vegas. We won a lot of games, but we had
a little
problem
at the blackjack table. You can gamble responsibly, just like drinking. Okay,
you can
be responsible. You can be a responsible gambler.
You can.
I love
and most are.
I've
most
never
are.
Lost my shirt, and I've never come home broke.
Yes, most are. You fall into that category, but there's a reason why there's something called Gamblers Anonymous, right? Because there are some people that cannot control
yes,
themselves.
I didn't say nobody's ever done that. I'm just saying every time you reference it, you're always acting like everybody's just walking out of the casino with no shirt on. They've given their wallet to the casino. And they
they're
come
being
home
led out by a couple of big muscular guys.
That, right, you know. They're being led out of the casino because they gambled everything away. Now they owe money to the casino. That's not – has that happened? Yes. Doesn't usually happen like that. Let's talk about – because I'll tell you something that caught my attention. And it was kind of like what we were talking about with baseball. And so now let's slide this over to the hockey side. You know, there's some names like Granlund and Craig Smith who are going to be free agents. And there's going to be a lot of free agents around the league, usually typically how that goes. But as we've talked about, this is not normal times. And it will not be normal times even if they return to play in two hub cities and they have a draft. And they're going to have a free agency period in an offseason, and they're prepared to start up a next season. It's still not going to be normal. And general managers are going to make that abundantly clear because, by the way, there's no more home games, right? This is going to be at hub cities. There's not going to be any fans. And so money is being lost around the league. How much do you think that is going to drive the price down? Because you know general managers are going to tell agents, I love your guy, but we can't pay that. You know that. Come on. You're not getting that from anybody else either. Come on. I get it. Normal circumstances, you can ask for that. These are not normal circumstances. There's no way we can pay your client that price, and you're not going to get that anywhere else. Those discussions will happen. How much do you think it will affect, and how much do you think agents will have to talk to players saying, I love you, but you know we can't ask for $4 million a year. You understand that there's nobody that's going to, because of what's going on, you're just not going to get that. It stinks. But maybe we sign a lesser deal. And, you know, when things open back up, then we can try for it the next go. And, you know, obviously depending on the age of the athlete. If it's a much younger athlete, you can say, hey, maybe we just go for like a one-year deal. Or, you know, two-year tops. Where I know you wanted me to go for a 6 or 7 year deal. That didn't happen. Maybe that's not a good idea in these times. How much do you think it's going to affect the market?
I think it'll be very significant for sure. There's a couple things that are different about the hockey agreement than baseball. And you heard Michael Russo say this, that Donald Fehr, remember old Donald Fehr, mm-hmm. You know, he's come back up. He's had a very interesting role with the Players Association, the NHL. He hasn't been this villain that he was for years with the baseball, because he was in charge of the baseball players when they had the strike in 1994. So you have a partnership with the NHL, which makes it a lot easier to get through this. Now, they would like to extend the collective bargaining agreement, right, while this is going on. I don't know if they'll be able to pull it off, but that was something that Russo brought up that I thought was interesting, is when the players give their vote and they say, okay, we're back, we're going to play, can they leverage that a little bit and get some things that they like so that the collective bargaining agreement extension helps with that process that you're talking about? For example, one of the things that really has stung the players over the last few years is called escrow. Right, you put, and I don't all understand all the details of escrow. You know, on your mortgage, you have escrow. Sometimes you're like, mm-hmm. escrow, what? But they withhold a certain amount of your money, and you don't get it back unless the league makes a certain amount. If they fall short, then you don't get that money back. And that has stung the players over the last few years. So they're going to want to know, because obviously the league is not going to hit the revenue, right? So that money's going to be gone. So what do you do about that? He mentioned that. That's something they're going to have to iron out. But the next thing, if you're David Poile, is what's the salary cap next year, right? Based on it's based on the revenues that you gain. We know that they're not going to hit the same amount of revenue that they thought they were going to hit right before the pandemic struck. So what is the salary cap? What do they decide for next year? If you did it just on the revenues, it will go way down, and there'll be some teams going, wait a minute, I can't do that.
Right.
I can't do that. I've already committed all this money to all these players. We can't make that work.
Yep.
So there's going to be a happy median that they strike for next year. Now, what do they do the year after that and the year after that? That's the question. So to answer your initial thought, yeah, the market is going to go down, I would think. Now, does that allow the Predators to slide in there and get a Mikhail Granlund and or Craig Smith when they thought, well, there was no way they were going to get both of them? They'd be lucky to get one of them. You know, like that was kind of the thinking before this hit. Now, maybe there's a little bit more of a wild card because you might have some guys that might take a 2-year deal or a 3-year deal that otherwise would have gotten 5 or 6 years.
And on the other side, it's going to make things extremely difficult to now trade away players with big contracts. Virtually impossible. Who's going to take on a big contract?
Great
point.
You
know, where before, David Poile has pulled off trades with players with big contracts. I think those days for the foreseeable future are gone. If you've got a big if you've got big
contracts.
And
it was hard before, but now it's got to be virtually impossible.
But we've seen it happen. But I think now, good luck with that. I think you virtually have no chance of pulling that off. So if you think you're ready to move on from, you know, a big contract player, it's just time or what have you. A PK Subban trade never happens in this climate to New Jersey, right? There's no way they're taking on that contract. David Poile was able to pull that off last offseason. You could not do that in this offseason, true?
Yeah, and do you think he's glad that he pulled that off at this point? Imagine
yes.
if he, you know, and you would obviously you would have PK Subban, and he would be helping
you
your team on the ice. But your
flexibility,
your flexibility on the cap would be completely shot.
Yep.
Right, they would have been trying desperately to get rid of salary, and that won't have to happen now because every bit of flexibility that you have is important.
But that is a prime example of a trade that I say never happens in this climate. That you could not. The best magic acts you've seen from general managers, and certainly David Poile, has pulled rabbits out of hats. You could not. I don't want to say swindle's a little strong. But you could not convince somebody to take a big, massive contract right now unless you're willing to eat a whole lot of it, right? That's about the only way.
Right.
Remember,
and
David Poile
how
just
many
got out from underneath it.
Yeah, and how many franchises are in a position to, as you said, eat part of the contract? That's not going to be very appetizing.
Mm-hmm. No.
Oh, you want me to – we just didn't have any fans for this whole playoffs, and we missed the last – 7 home games for the gate, and we don't know what's going to happen next year, and you want me to eat half of that contract? No thanks.
Yeah, that's basically a plate of asparagus and beets for me.
Yeah.
No thanks. I'm pushing that plate away because that's what most general managers will do. They're just going to push it away. And Here's one more dynamic in all this. We've talked about this the whole time, that, you know, hopefully we're about to find out here soon when things get going. We have no clue how this layoff is going to affect players. We just talked about it. Kevin Fiala blowing it up going into shutdown, right?
Oh, Granlund, man.
Blowing it up, playing his best hockey under Hines since he's been here in Nashville. Absolutely tearing it up. And especially in Granlund's case, he's a free agent. And what if he comes back and he can't find that magic that he had right going into shutdown? And it comes out and it's ice cold. Pardon the pun there. You know?
It could be bad too.
For a lot of guys that, you know, are looking to try to squeeze out as much money as they can, even with the circumstances. Well, you need to be playing well, right? You don't want to come out of this and just for whatever reason, it's just hard to get going and you just weren't effective. And it's like, oh, great. So now you've got COVID and you finished on a kind of a downer note. Like, that's two strikes against your agent or against you for your agent to try to go squeeze out as much money as possible from somebody. That's going to be tough.
I don't know who specifically it's going to be, but that will happen to some potential free agents.
No question.
Right?
Oh,
the guys that just don't get it going.
Free agents. It's going to happen.
Yeah. Maybe they play okay. They don't play bad, but their team's out after three games. And that's it. You know, that's.
Yep.
And the other side of the coin is true, too. Somebody is going to go on a run and turn his season around to where you forget the fact that for the first 70 games, that person wasn't very good. You know, so what are you getting? But I do wonder this. As you say that, Darren, is there a chance? Like, I'm just thinking, if I'm in those shoes, I've got a young family or I've been living here for – I mean, let's take Granlund and Smith. I mean, Granlund just got here. He's, you know, he hasn't been here very long. It may not be all that appetizing to go out into the unknown and, you know, have to move again. And let's say Craig Smith, who's been here for a long time, is this the year he wants to go out and move? I don't know. So I'm just thinking, for some potential free agents, will there be some angle by some GMs to say, would you take this one-year deal to stay here? Let's just extend it for 1 year. We'll give you a good deal, and then we'll tackle the long term after this. I don't know. I mean, because
it's
there isn't
a very good point.
The market will be unknown for the next few seasons, I would say.
And for players like Craig Smith who have been here their whole career, and he knows he's not going to – if he knows his agent's saying, look, it's just not going to be, you know, what we thought. It's just not, unfortunately. And it's not going to be that anywhere. So it's going to be a much lower number than we anticipated because of the circumstances. And so if you know that, wouldn't you just rather stay with the known rather than go to the unknown?
And where does your money go, like, further?
Why pick
as
up
we've been
your,
talking about.
You know, why
in,
you
in
and Aaliyah pick up and go to, I don't know, Anaheim when you can just stay in Nashville and, you know, that's where you are now. It's what you're familiar with. That's where your home is. Just stay there. You guys and the dogs just stay there rather than go to some unknown market. And it's, to me, that would factor in, I would think. I really do. I mean, I think that would factor in for a lot of guys. They're like, especially like a guy like Craig Smith, who's been, he was, you know, drafted by the franchise, been here his whole career. Why would he want to pick up usually it's, well, look, I wanted to stay, but fill in the blank team. They just made an offer I couldn't turn down. I couldn't refuse. Like, I had to do. I don't think those are real. That's not really going to be in play, right? I don't think you're really going to get. You're going to hear the, well, they gave me an offer I just couldn't refuse this offseason. I think those are going to be few and far between. And so most of them are just going to be stuck with a much lower number and lower terms than they ever dreamed in a free agency period. And for some, I would think they're like, you know what? I like living here. These are where, you know, my friends are. This is where we are right now. I'm not going to pick up and go to a market I haven't been to. I'm just going to stay here. I'll take the lesser amount and stay here. I think that's going to be in play with a lot of guys.
I think there will be different things to consider for sure. And it may be, you know, maybe it's a 2-year deal or a 3-year deal, but a lot less money than you thought you were going to get in exchange for that security of knowing that you have a contract, knowing also that the next couple of years are going to be iffy, right, with the market, right? There's going to be some teams that feel it for the next couple of years, especially if next year attendance is compromised, because we know how much the league relies on the gate, right? So some franchises will be able to soldier on. I have no doubt that the Maple Leafs, the Rangers, you know, the huge market teams with huge fan bases, they'll probably be able to soldier through it. But remember, the whole league affects the cap, right? The league revenues. That's why the competitive balance of the NHL is so good, right? But there still will be some teams that might have a little more trouble than others of being able to come up with the salaries that you're looking for. So, you know, it might be, if I'm a player, it might be appetizing to me to say, okay, I can stay, I get security. Yeah, maybe I could have made $4 or $5 million a year in my next deal in a normal season. That's not going to happen, but I'll take the 2 or 3 years at $1 million or $1.5 million less, and I get the security of knowing that regardless of how crazy it is, the unknown, I know I've got the security of a long-term deal, a longer-term deal, as opposed to a one-year deal.
We've talked about state income tax. That'll be more in play than
big
ever.
Time.
Big more time. In play, because you're going to be looking for every angle to try to squeeze out as much money as you can. We'll come back. Hour number two, golf is back. We'll talk to Bob Herrig, who covers PGA for ESPN and ESPN.com. We do that next here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.